This is the Matters of Influence podcast, creating awareness and alignment today to become your best self tomorrow, with your hosts, Debbie Frapp and Terry Foster Nowland.
Hey.
Hello, hello.
Are we going to have some fun or what?
Today, I have been looking forward to this day and to have the opportunity to ask questions to one amazing, incredible lady. And it has made my whole week just looking forward to this.
Yeah, I'm so glad she said yes. And
me too.
I am, you know, if we said the word Diana, I think most everyone would know who we were talking about. We don't even have to say Diana Kokoska. We know, people know Diana. And we are so thrilled, Diana, to have you here and to talk about what Debbie and I've been waiting on for years was your book. We've heard you say, I'm going to write a book. And you've written more than any human I think I know. I bet your journals are stacked in a big storage building somewhere.
Absolutely.
So we've learned that concept from you. And thank you so much. You know, it's been 14 years since I got in business with this amazing leader, Diana Kokoska. Debbie, you're right there too.
13 years ago.
Yep. See? And she dug that well for us. So we're so excited to have her on to talk about her new book and a little bit, honestly, about her story, because she tells her story in this book. And no, I'm not completely finished. I'm getting there. But becoming more, and I love this part, you can't get better until you get different. So we might talk a little bit about that. And her book was forwarded by the John Maxwell, who most of us know and love and highly respect. So thank you, Diana, for being here.
Well, thanks for the opportunity. I've got to tell you, it was so much fun literally working with the two of you and watching you grow and prosper. And look at you now, incredible women, incredible leaders that are helping so many other people. And of course, when you say John Maxwell did the foreword, I was so blessed to have him as a mentor. It's been 25 years now. Wow. And so him pouring leadership lessons into me and me being able to pass them on to all the people that I was able to lead. And now you're passing those same things on. It's amazing. How that ripple effect keeps going. And I trust today we're going to cause some ripples, okay? Are we ready to go?
I love it.
Let's do it. Did you see your jump right in there?
I did. I love it. So, Diana, one of the questions that I have for you is, if there was one thing that people who read your book could take away, what would you want it to be?
That they can become more. That each and every person desires to have more, do more, be more, and maybe even give more. The interesting part, though, is that research shows 95% of the population of the world desire more in their life. Mm-hmm. And yet here was the astounding part. Only 5% actually implement or do something about it. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons I wanted this book to come out, was the fact that I want to reach those 5%, because I believe most people, they don't want to do anything because they don't know how. They desire to do it. They yearn to do it. Nobody's ever taught them how to do it. And so in the book, it's a step-by-step process to train our brains how to think, because we trained our brains how to think so far, right? Mm-hmm. The way we're thinking right now, we've done that. We can blame everybody else, but we're the ones that have trained our brain, which means we can retrain our brains, which excites the heck out of me.
Absolutely. I love that, because it leaves you with some hope in knowing that things can be different. Mm-hmm. I love that. When I heard the title of your book, every time I hear it, I can just hear your voice, because I know I've heard you say that over and over again. And I love that. One of the other questions that I have for you is, what kind of ignited, or what happened for you in becoming more as you were writing this book?
Well, there's three things that come to mind, Debbie. And so one of them, first of all, my brother and sister both had brain tumors, and they put that fire inside of me to really understand the brain, learn about the brain. Why is it that we do the things we do? Why do we think the way we think, right? And it started with helping my brother learn how to walk and talk all over again. And as I would say the word into the reel-to-reel tape recorder, for those that are listening that are younger, it's a box where there's two reels and it goes, you know what I mean. Anyway, I would say the word, he would say the word, and then we would rewind and listen to it and over again. And he would learn a new way, learn how to say it better. And then we gave him books to read. The book, ironically, was The Little Engine That Could. And when I read, I think I can, I think I can, and he kept saying that, I think I can, I know I can, all of a sudden he did. And I thought, how does that work? How does it work that you can literally put into your brain and have things happen, like doctors telling him he would be in a wheelchair, not once, but four different times in his life. And they kept saying that until he stood up and walked and shocked the heck out of him. What is it that allows people to do that? And so that was number one. Number two was the fact that I've always had this desire to add value to others. You know that from when I wrote Bold and the Coaching Skills Camp and Recharge and everything that I had the opportunity to do. And I so loved it. And to add value to other people. In fact, every morning my phone goes off. It has been doing this since I had a phone that I could set an alarm on. Before that, it was in my calendar. It says, what will you do today to add value to others? At 7 p.m., it goes off and it says, what did you do today to add value to others? Writing the book is my way of reaching out beyond the people that I know to the people they know and they know. And it just does that ripple effect again. Yeah. The third reason was I got so many texts, so many calls, so many people saying, when are you going to write your book? And of course, I'd say, oh, I just don't have time right now. Well, I was down on the dock. We live on a lake, and I was sitting there reading, and I got a text that I generally get, and it was very nice and very complimentary, giving gratitude, which you know I love. And I thanked them for their kind words, yet they ended that text with, when are you going to write a book? And I said, maybe someday. I turned the page of the book I was reading, and it says, if not you, who, and if not now, when, from John F. Kennedy. And I thought, okay, God, I got it. I'm writing a book. And with that, I started. And of course, then started going on mission trips. And it kind of sat for a while until I got very, very interested because of a person, I'm not going to mention them, but they had some things happening in their life. It just touched my heart. And they said, I need your belief again, because I always say, borrow my belief until you can find your own.
Yep.
And in giving them that belief, I thought, how many more people are out there going through what they're going through? And that's when I got very serious about the book. And that was a long answer to a very short question.
No, I love that answer. Love it. Love that answer. Awesome.
Perfect answer. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you've answered a question I was going to ask you about inspiration and purpose, because you just lined it all up there. And, you know, there was some of the chapters in the book, which are interesting. I was reading through just the table of contents, right? And I was just looking at the chapter names. And I was like, this is so funny, because so much of it sounds familiar. And yet when you start reading, I'm hearing some different things in it, like things I've not heard Diana say before. And Debbie, some of these, it's funny because I was like, oh, we could podcast on that. Emotions matter. Oh, growth matters. Oh, being different matters. And I had a question around embracing different, Diana. So, how are people reacting or responding when you say embracing different? What would be some practical steps you could tell people to begin that journey of embracing different? Because we know it starts, you have to be aware of it, and then you have to embrace something before you can change, right?
Yes. Well, awareness is the first step to change, as you know. And the big thing, though, is most people don't want different. We have built cages. In fact, our thoughts have helped us build those cages. And the cages, the bars are made up of our thoughts. And of course, that cage is our comfort zone. And we love to stay in our comfort zone. And different means getting outside of our comfort zone. And of course, we all know we have uphill dreams with downhill habits. John Maxwell has taught us that. And we want to go uphill. We want that success. Yet we got to step outside our comfort zone because that's where success lives. Now, when we think about this, think about Radio Shack, Sears, Blockbuster, for heaven's sakes. Mm-hmm. What did they all have in common? They were all Goliaths in their industry. Each and every one of them were known around the world as great companies. Blockbuster even had the chance to buy Netflix. And yet they didn't want different. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, and we'll never find out because nobody talks about it. Yet what was it that they wanted to hold on to their way of being, their way of doing things, what they had, and they didn't want to change. And it was because of that comfort zone that actually came to their demise, right?
Yeah.
So we've got to embrace different. The world taught us. COVID taught us to embrace different. That was different forced upon us. Mm-hmm. It was different that we didn't want, we didn't choose, yet we got. And the sad part is everybody said, oh my gosh, what's happening? That's the first stage our brain goes through. The second stage is that we go into this, it'll be over real quick. Don't worry about it. Well, it didn't. Then we went into the third stage. Now, that third stage was very interesting to me because that's when I started calling. In fact, I did 76 Zooms in 40 days because I was frightened that people would go into the fourth stage. See, the third stage is the I deserve stage. And we know that a lot of people went into that because they started with, I deserve a drink. Well, alcohol sales went up like crazy, right? Mm-hmm. I deserve if they did drugs, if I deserve to binge out on Netflix, I deserve to eat, right? Mm-hmm. Now everybody's wanting to get rid of the weight that they took on during COVID. But the fourth stage is the frightening stage to me. The fourth stage is where they don't want to go back to work because they've gone into what I call learned helplessness. And learned helplessness is where we have wrapped ourselves in that blanket so well that we don't want to get out. And that cage has become smaller and smaller and smaller. And yet we still stay there, even though it's uncomfortable to stay. We think it's more uncomfortable to leave. And that's where learned helplessness comes in. And when COVID hit, I said to Tony, I'm frightened that people won't want to go back to work. Do you know over 200,000 doors closed, businesses closed their doors during COVID and never reopened? Yes. 600,000 businesses have gone out of business just before COVID until now. I mean, you look at these astounding things and you go, different. We got to do something different. I'll sum it up with Einstein. He said doing the same thing and expecting different results is insanity.
Amen. Exactly. Amen. Amen.
And that's a cycle, right? That is nothing more than a cycle. And I've written a few notes. And one of the things, going back to that 95-5 rule that you mentioned earlier, this learned helplessness totally ties into what you said earlier, that there will be 5% that choose. Mm-hmm. If I remember you saying that correctly, 5% that's will choose correct. To do something different or take action. That's different than the 80-20 principle, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's scary. So interesting because we hear about that 80-20 all the time, yet research that I put into this book is starting to show many, many things that are different than that 80-20, that it's even becoming different, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
Which is fun. And in the book, it reminds me, just people started counting their losses and they're still counting their losses due to COVID, due to whatever happened to them. We don't count our losses, we count our lessons.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing to me is so many people are getting out of gratitude and into complaining. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. you can't complain and be in gratitude all in the same time. So Debbie, when you asked earlier, and Terry, if there was one thing, it would probably be that I'd like to see people get back into gratitude. Mm-hmm. In fact, there's writing this book, I had so many, I studied brain scans. I even had my own brain. I did a brain scan with Dr. Raymond, right? And it's interesting. They brought 30 people in to do brain scans. And they had them write down things that they were grateful for 5 minutes, just grateful for water pressure, grateful for lights, grateful for carpet, great. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Then they, after 30 minutes, they did brain scans on these people. Everything was lit up. The amygdala that puts us into action, the reticular activating system, the cerebellum, the area that we get intuition from, that we get that still small voice that speaks with us. All of the areas of the brain, the logical mm-hmm. side, the emotions, the good emotions like joy and happy, all these things were lit up. Took the same people, had them sit, and they did not have them write, because writing actually embeds it in your brain more. Yet they wouldn't let them write about the negative things. They did have them think about what ifs. What if my dog died? What if I lost my job? What if I was in a car wreck? What if one of my kids came down with some illness? All these terrible things. And then they did brain scans. The only thing that was lit up was the emotion of anxiety and worry and depression. Mm-hmm. Nothing else, yeah. No creativity, no way to actually move forward in their life. And so just the mere fact, people say, Diana, what do you have for anxiety in today? I said, well, one of the things is write down what you're grateful for and do it throughout the day and focus on those things. And you'll find it's kind of hard to be anxious or depressed, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. I love that. I love that.
Yeah. And I think that totally ties into, in the book, you said, as a human being, you are not fixed, you are free. And so what are some practical tips or exercises that you could share with your listeners or your, or the people that would be reading a book, this book? Cause I know they're going to order it. We're going to give them information on that at the end, that they could apply to their lives. So practical tips or exercises they could apply to their lives to become free, not fixed.
Well, first of all, we don't get what we want. We get who we are, right? We get what we are. If we look around and we're not getting what it is that we desire, we have to look in the mirror, because it starts there. In the chapter, and Terry and Debbie being advanced readers, you already know that everything starts on the inside. And as I was walking along the beach with my son Shane in Mexico, and we came upon some turtle eggs, and he goes, oh, I'm so excited. I hope they hatch, right? It would be fun. Mm-hmm. Well, as we walked along, I started thinking about those eggs, and I knew that an egg that was open from an outside force, like a predator, the environment, it's going to destroy life. Yet an egg that opens from the inside out brings life forward. So it all starts with us. Our self-awareness is so very important that we have that. And once we are self-aware, then we can take action. Every chapter has something for people to learn about themselves and to implement, because we learn things, we implement things, we fail at things, and then we relearn and implement those things. And it's like a continuous cycle that goes on and on. When people look at failure as failure, that's when they stop. When they look at it as a learning lesson, they keep going, just learning a new way to do what it is that they desire to do. There's also lessons about, gratitude is all through there, yet the four energies of success. Mm-hmm. What are these four energies, and how do you take those energies on? How do you display energy? Because each one of us have an energetic calling card that we give out way before we ever open our mouths, right? Before we can ever hand out a business card. They know the energy, and they either are attracted to it or they really are repelled by it. So I just love how every chapter, it's actually the becoming more model, and it gives you every step to retrain your brain from the story you have today to the new story that you desire to live onto the legacy that you'll leave behind.
Mm. Woo, she just tapped on my value word.
Man, I'm just saying. Wow. I know, right?
Legacy, legacy, legacy.
Legacy, yeah. Love yeah, it.
All my people know legacy's at the top of that list right now. So
that's right.
Well, and how many people have written theirs? I mean, true. In the book, it says, write your eulogy.
Yeah,
it tells you, go ahead right now, stop and just write out what you want to be known for when your days on this earth are over. Yeah. And when you write out this entire eulogy, which every one of these exercises I've done, mm-hmm. and I've had some what I call guinea pigs. They don't like being called that, I have to tell you. Yet I had to do my own research for this sure. book, right?
Yeah.
And one of the gentlemen happened to be a Keller Williams operating principal, and I was honored and blessed to be able to mentor him. And it was so fun because he didn't even know I was doing this, because I wanted to know, does it work or doesn't it work? And I was documenting yeah. everything as we went along. He took on one of the worst market centers. I won't tell you the region and that, because it may become too apparent at that point. Yet he went from the worst in just a short period of time. He is now neck and neck with that number one market That's center. Awesome. And it's through leadership, because we all know mm-hmm. that everything rises and falls on leadership, right? Mm-hmm. So I do know these are tried, true, and tested. The other part that I just kind of shift gears here for just a minute is on mindset. Because when I Googled mindset, there were over 150 mindsets that we could have. And I mm-hmm. thought, well, I can't write about 150 mindsets. So I started interviewing people, watching John Maxwell, asking questions, Dr. Henry Cloud, John Addison, Don Yeager, Jeff Henderson, all these people that are fabulous people. Then, because I was part of John's inner circle for 3 years running, and we had great people like Ed Bastian mm-hmm. of Delta Airlines. Mm-hmm. We had people come in and he would interview them. And I went back through the interviews. What mindsets am I seeing amongst all these great people? Oh, wow. And of course, you can watch YouTube and get a lot of that too, like how they speak, their words tell you. Yeah. I narrowed it down to 7 mindsets that limit you and 7 that liberate you. Hmm. And we actually have a free assessment when you order the book before October 31st. It's free of charge. And you're the only one that gets the assessment, so you don't have to worry, oh, who's seeing my mindset? Because see, mindset's unconscious.
That's right.
Attitude is conscious. Mindset yeah. is unconscious. So how much of a gratitude mindset do you really have? How much of a positive mindset, of a growth mindset, all of these things, a curious mindset, do you have that? Or are you judgmental? Because see, a lot of times you won't notice it. You can have a judgmental mindset and a positive attitude, therefore being able to say your judgment in a nice way. You're still judgmental.
That's powerful. That's not that is. That their EQ ties right into that, right, Debbie?
Absolutely.
That's powerful.
Absolutely.
Well, when you get this assessment back, you'll get a bar chart. And you'll get the round chart, pie chart that tells you how much of each you have.
Oh,
and
cool.
The greatest part about it is it will give you 5 to 7 things that are very easy to do every single day that you can train your brain to go from entitlement to gratitude, from judgment to curiosity, from hubris to humility. Mm-hmm. It's so fun to watch awesome. People as their mindset starts to shift because it's mm-hmm. actually, you can see the difference in the people.
That's awesome.
It's on my list to do that assessment today. I've been reading and I haven't done that assessment.
I love it.
So I want to be in a place where I do it right. So I'll just go from a personal level, because going back to the whole story matters, as Debbie and I've talked about, and I've told Debbie, I need to do a whole podcast just to interview her for our people. But you also said this, I wrote this in my journal and I journaled about it last week when I had some time off. Are you living in the moment or are you stuck in the moment? And that may not seem like a big thing. However, it may resonate with some people. It just happens to be resonating in my world right now, right? Am I living or am I stuck? And I don't know if it's because of this big birthday, this big awesome birthday that Debbie and I have celebrated this year or not. However, how would you say that you could help that people might identify whether they're living or stuck? What would be a practical step for that?
Well, if things are not getting better, if you're not becoming more, you're stuck. And the interesting part.
There you go. Yeah, that's why I wanted her to, say it.
You know, it's kind of like being on a treadmill. Either you keep moving forward or just watch YouTube. You want a good laugh? Look at the treadmill fails, right?
Yes, exactly. It's in your book. Yes.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I love that.
Well, and I asked that question because I'm so visual. And when you put your pyramid in the book grows, right? And I love that because you go from the current story to your life to what's the top word, Diana?
Legacy, right?
Legacy. Yeah.
So you know, I went, okay. So all those words and blocks in the middle, whatever we want to call them, are critical. And when Debbie and I stand on the stage and we have a course we've written called 8 Steps to Self-Leadership, because we believe it begins with you, right? We believe it begins with us.
It does.
And our own inner journey. We have to stop sometimes to realize where we are in that inner journey. And sure. So that course has been pretty monumental for she and I to stand up together on stage and teach. I mean, it's fun. We've had some fun. But that's kind of what wrapped that book up for me, right? So far, it's like, that's been my main focal point to pull that out and look at it. And I know others that are listening and are watching, they're going to take this, they're going to order the book, they're going to do the assessment, they're going to pick little things out. I mean, nobody can talk about the brain like you do, Diana. So yeah, thank you to simplify it.
You know what I love about this is this wasn't a book for people just to read. It's a book for them to take it in and really change the course of their life, and if they choose to. And they can do it in lots of different areas. So I love the practicality and the implementation that we get. And too often we don't get those in books. And I love that, Diana. And, you know, as far as a legacy, one of the things that I've shared this with Terry, legacy is not just about what you leave for others to spend, but it's what you leave inside of others. And, you know, as we close out, you know, first of all, thank you for leaving inside of each of us what you have. And that's part of your legacy. And I just know that this book will leave others, and you may not ever know what that was that you left in other people. And yet you're putting it out there for so many to be able to take and make a difference in their world if they choose, if they're willing to let go, if they're willing to stay in gratitude, and if they're willing to take responsibility for their own growth. And you're giving them that and that tool. So thank you.
Well, and here's the thing. 95.5 is how we started. And so to wrap it up, most books give you information and you can learn from them, which is the 95% of the learning. But many of them do not go the extra step and the 5% of how you implement it. And when I did that research study, I thought my book is not going to be just to learn. It's going to be a step-by-step process. And I actually looked at John Wooden's success triangle is where this came from. And with that, that's how it started. So we started with 95.5. We can end with 95.5. And just thank you so much for the opportunity. More importantly, thank you for allowing me to be your leader for so many years, to watch you all grow and develop. And personal development is in the book. And I thought of every coach as I read that portion. So thank you.
It is. So Diana, where can they go and get this book when it comes out? Pre-orders.
They can actually pre-order it right now. That's the way they'll get the assessment free and they'll get a free chapter. I chose the chapter on energy, of course, because I love energy. Yet they can go to becomingmorebook.com.
Okay.
becomingmorebook.com. They can go to Amazon and order it as well. It's just if you go to our website, you can actually then get the assessment over 100 affirmations to help train your brain, the free chapter, so many things. Plus, if you do bulk orders, oh my gosh, we have so many fun things. You know me, I love fun, I love experiences. And we've got, you could even win a trip to Park City, Utah for 4 days and 3 nights and ski the slopes of Park City and Deer Valley. I mean, there's so many things. Join me on Facebook to literally get going on this, right? Awesome. Diana Kokoska. And then of course, Instagram, Diana.Kokoska, and LinkedIn, Diana Kokoska. However, Kokoska is the hard part. You guys have to put that down so they know how to spell
it. We will. Right? We'll definitely make sure we put all of those in there and we know will. How to spell
it. K-O-K-O-S-Z-K-A. I think I spell it wrong half the time still to this day.
You did.
Anyway.
You did. You did. I did.
That's awesome.
All right. Perfect. And do you have any events coming up that you need to?
I do. Oh my gosh. Thanks for asking about that. I am so excited. It is an event to raise money to buy books for children all over the world to teach them values. Oh my goodness. If you saw how the bullying in even South Carolina is going down 27% after just 1 year of doing this, plus young leaders teaching the junior high and high school kids. All the profits are going to go to that, but it's March 25th and 26th. If you're a VIP, there's going to be a lot of surprises. And you know me, I love experiences. So what will those experiences be? And then if you want just general session, which is still going to be good because John Maxwell is helping me. It's going to his foundation, for heaven's sakes. And so he will start it off with the speaking. And we have a lineup of great speakers. And that's just March 26th for the general, March 25th and 26th for VIP.
Now, you know what, Terry, I get excited just thinking about some of the events that and experiences that Diana that we shared and memorable
places I'd never been, things I'd never experienced.
Absolutely.
In
absolutely.
So anyway,
absolutely.
Okay. Diana, well, Debbie, there might be a girls trip in March.
I'm telling you. And isn't it in Nashville? One of our favorite places.
Yeah.
Okay. Nashville. Well, there we
it's
go.
It's going to be all so right. good.
All right. That sounds great. Well, I'm going to just close this out really quickly. Thank you, Diana. Thank you, everybody else that listens. Order the book. Order the book. Okay.